Hi guys, you're listening to the Home Staging Show podcast, and this is Season 2, Episode 6. I'm your host, Cindy Lin. If this is the first episode that you're listening to, the show is all about learning how to create a beautiful home, whether it is for selling or for living. On today's episode, I'm going to talk about the design process of pulling a home together and talking about artwork, which is something I think a lot of homeowners get stuck on. They're not sure what to put on their walls, so I'm going to talk about that today and give you a few ideas on what to do. Hey guys, welcome back. It's another episode of The Solo Show. So I've been trying to do more interviews. If you have a specific topic that you want to learn more about home staging or decorating your house, or you have any ideas for guests, please leave a comment in the show notes and I'll look for someone awesome. It's been a surprisingly busy season. Normally this time of year, things are winding down, but I'm still seeing a lot of activities on the market. As many of you know, my staging company, StageMore, is turning 10 in just a few months. So definitely there have been a lot of reflection going on about the business and seeing how the direction will go for the future. We're definitely changing a bit of direction next year, and one of the major changes we started with is to give EcoJo a little bit more love and independence from the staging company. Right now, the EcoJo website is pretty much merged to the StageMore website. And actually, yesterday, I just made a new website live for ecojokids.com. For those of you who are not familiar with EcoJo, in real estate, there's a superstition of burying a St. Joseph statue for good luck in selling your home. You bury a statue of St. Joseph and pray to him for good luck in selling your house. We had designed and manufactured an eco-friendly version named EcoJo, who's made with 100% clay. He's all natural and won't harm the earth. You can find out more about him on our website at www.ecojokits.com, ecojokits.com. Well, I literally just finished redoing the whole website yesterday for EcoJo. It is still a work in progress. I'm working on a private area just for our wholesaler based on one of the suggestions that I've gotten, but it's coming along nicely overall. We're also planning to add more EcoJo to the EcoJo shop to make it a more robust source, resource, and web shop so that we can provide helpful tips, products, and courses to help people sell. This is something that's really overarching idea behind everything that we do nowadays. As you know, I feel very strongly about the benefits of home staging. It's becoming a mission to do more education on that. So on today's show, I want to talk about styling and decorating and pulling your house together. I was listening to this podcast, Elise Gets Crafty, where she interviews creatives about their work. On this particular episode, she was interviewing the husband and wife team bloggers behind Young House Love. They were on the show to discuss and promote their new book, Lovable Livable Home. If you're not familiar with Young House Love, it's a blog where a couple documented their process and how they remodeled their home. They used to blog every day and they DIY a lot throughout the entire process and documented pretty much everything. The blog then get turned into their first book, Young House Love, and now here's a second book that they're talking about on the show. This particular podcast was really more about how they wrote a book, the business side behind it, and their approach, but I got really inspired listening to it. Because I loved their thought process, and I thought their philosophy behind their new book was a very approachable way to design your home. It also just so happened that I was at a family event this week where I was surrounded by family members asking for design solutions, especially about empty walls, what to put on them, and how to hang artwork. So I thought this would be a perfect time to talk about this. I also saw quite a few remodel projects this week for home staging, so I want to chat about remodeling for a little bit as well, since we also discussed it with Michelle Finnemore in last week's podcast interview. That was a really great episode for both homeowners and home sagers listening. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely give it a listen. So the first thing I want to talk about is what is perfect. So I think a lot of times we have this idea in our heart, in our head, that we want our home to be perfect, our job to be perfect, and our lives to be perfect. Well, I can't really help you with the job or the lives, but I can help you with the home part. And I think that is totally human nature to want to have a perfect interior. And it's something we definitely strive for. It's a great goal to have. But a lot of times we don't realize that design can be a long-term game. It's not something you can just do it and finish in one weekend. And it doesn't have to be painful, like forcing yourself running the entire time through an entire marathon in one sitting. Design really is a process. I've learned this many times when I work for companies like Anthropology and Ralph Lauren. Even though they are derivatives from the corporate, it doesn't matter. It's still a process. So you see the inspiration, you see what a corporate wants, and then you interpret it for your window. Because not every store is going to be exactly the same, cookie cutter. So as a designer, you put your own spin on it, but that still stays on brand. And it's still a cohesive look that ties the entire store together. So yeah, design is really a process. It takes time to really hone in and figure out what is the right thing to do and what works for your budget and your time and your purpose. So it takes time to not only figure out what you want, it also takes time to hone and grow your aesthetics. Your lifestyle will change as time changes, so it is really important to keep that in mind when you make design decisions. And this is why I'm also a big fan of experimenting and playing, because I think that's probably the most valuable lessons I've ever learned when I was doing visual at Anthropology. Before building a full display, we would draw out the concepts on paper and then prototype it, just like building a small scale one, and then figure out how we can take this on a larger scale and if it can be scaled. It is the same process when it comes to design. What I really love about what Young House Love people were talking about was that their approach of redoing and remodeling their own homes in phases. So you go from phase one, it can be something really small, like changing the hardware, and then you move on to repainting maybe just one cabinet, to something that's a really big project, like changing out the entire kitchen cabinet, like the higher level stuff. So I like this idea a lot, because this is a great way to make something that seems very daunting way more approachable. And this is very applicable for either selling your home or decorating your home to live. While you're walking yourself through these different phases, your skills and abilities will also improve and grow. And then the harder projects will seem less daunting to you than trying to tackle it head on in the beginning. Think about like playing a video game like Super Mario, which is the only video game I really know how to play. So you have to follow the levels, you have to break through in each one and work your way up to save the princess. That's how Super Mario works, same thing with design. So, you know, there's no way from day one you would know how to put plaster on the wall or how to drywall your living room. It's just the same thing. You start from the small things and you hone and you learn more skills as you go. And it's the same thing about remodeling. So you also don't have to make things perfect on the first day, but you can make it livable on day one. It's definitely a process when you move from phase one to phase two to three to and so on. Do things in steps, like starting from changing the hardware, then building upon that and play with different solutions. And I would say definitely try before you fully commit. So like painting, I always recommend painting one corner first to test the colors, then fully commit it if that's what you want. It's the same thing about testing trends. There are a lot of cool DIY stuff out there. Like you can paint your walls on ombre color and you may look really awesome on Pinterest, but then you may end up hating it when you live with it. So you never know until you do it. And through this process, it will also help you define what is perfect for you. The same idea can also be applied to staging your home. A lot of times I see people get stuck because they feel overwhelmed. If you approach things in phases, it will help you digest it and break tasks down. And it's the same thing too with staging. A lot of times I see people try to be perfect. They try to do this thing perfect, but they get stuck and they don't see the overall picture. So really, like I always say, when you're in the process of staging, if you're stuck, just step away and then come back later on. The goal is that you have that end point in mind, you know, say like whether you're doing DIY project or doing staging, it's always good to give yourself a timeline. So when I'm staging houses, we are basically on a time crunch because pretty much our projects have to be finished in one day. So usually I'm thinking like, okay, so we start loading up the truck at 8, we get to the house around 10:30. So ideally everything needs to be out and unloaded by 11:30. And then we start making the bed. So at 1 o'clock after lunch, we should start steaming the bed and so on. So you kind of have a rough timeline in your head. And that's going to help you to keep yourself on track and make sure you're staying on time. So the second point is your purpose. So I know when you say the purpose, it sounds super woo-woo, like one of those new age books. But what I really meant is, what is this room for that you're designing or you're styling? And how are you going to use this room? And how does it fit into your overall lifestyle or purpose? So say if you're staging instead of decorating, so what is the purpose of this room? And how the buyers will use it, and how do you think you can highlight the benefits of this room by staging the room a certain way. So one of the things that really struck me about the interview is that the author bloggers from Young House Love, they really talk about laying out their book by purpose and different audiences. And I think that's really important for you when it comes to your home design or staging process. Obviously for staging, it is different than you're living there, because staging is all about the buyers. You're selling a lifestyle to them, and you want to make sure that your staging will highlight the lifestyle that you want to sell. For living, it's a different story. It is really all about you or your family. It's about the people that are going to be living in the space. So I want to chat about remodeling here pretty quick. Since I was asked to do estimates for a few different staging projects this week, and I basically seen a wide range of spectrum this week. I think that it is great that you're remodeling your home, but if you know that you will be selling the home down the line, you really have to think about the return on investment, unless you just really don't care. Then that's fine. We don't even need to have this conversation. But for most sellers, I do feel like this is something that they should take into consideration. One of the most painful mistakes I've seen homeowners make is that they over-remodel or select finishes that are expensive, but they're disconnected from each other. You're not really getting a great overall effect. So from a project I saw this week, they have this beautiful walnut finish. It's basically like a slab of wood. It's a very organic material that they selected for their kitchen countertop. But it's against very, very sleek design, very sleek, very modern, you know, like shiny stainless and stuff like that. It just doesn't really go together. So while I can see the homeowner pick top of the line stuff for each component of their design, but it feels disconnected and disjointed because they don't really relate to each other. And when you're styling your home or staging, that's the thing, you know, I'm talking about this later on when I talk about artwork. It's the same thing. It's like all these pieces need to relate to each other one way or the other. They need to have a theme, a thread that connects them all together to make the interior make sense. So that's a very painful mistake that I see pretty often. When you remodel based on a very specific taste, the more specific that you are, the harder it is to sell. I also saw a house this week where they had texture accent walls with light speckles in them. I know it's incredibly expensive to do, but it's also a very specific taste not everyone will appreciate. It will also be difficult and expensive to update. So you have to also think about the maintenance issue. Like white marble countertop is incredibly popular, especially you see that a lot in interior design blogs and magazines. but they can also be hard to maintain depending on your lifestyle. I was on a photo shoot recently. This particular house that we shot at was already pretty well photographed. When we shot it this summer, it had just had a feature in Domino magazine before we were there to shoot for interior design book. So the homeowner had this beautiful white marble countertop they just finished. We were shooting a brunch scene when we had these glasses of juices, and because of the acid in the juice, it left these glasses left rings in the countertop. So even though the glasses were only there for about an hour or so, the acid ate away the finish. So if you want to use finishes that are harder to maintain, these are the homework that you need to do to make sure that you can keep the finishes that you want and then make them last, because these are not cheap investments in your home. You want to make sure you are getting as much benefits as possible. So no matter what finishes you use, there will be a certain level of maintenance. So obviously some are more maintenance and some are less. So when you're making these type of design decision, you need to think about how you can get the best return on investment, whether it is monetary or emotional returns. In season one, for the last episode, I interviewed a home seller, Kirsty, and she actually talked about this. It took them probably 3 years in a way to stage her house, because when they're remodeling, they were really selecting finishes based on what they know their local buyers would love, but themselves might not necessarily love. It was a very difficult process, but she felt like it was worth it in the end because they sold their house very quickly, especially where they were was not, like, home staging was not popular at all. So if you have a chance, definitely give that episode a listen as well. So this brings me to my third point, which is to be thoughtful in your process. The thing is that the more homework that you have done, the more you can manage your budget and timeline and avoid disasters. You always want to make sure you have clarity on what kind of results you want to achieve. And I say this to you because I've learned this so many times the hard way in my own business. I find that every time if I walk into the project blind and not knowing what kind of results that I want, it usually is a bit of a disaster, and it always come back and bite me somewhere. So you don't need to make crazy investment until you really find out what your needs are when it comes to remodeling. You can always make bigger upgrades down the line, and you don't have to do it all at once. It's a similar process for getting your home ready for sale as well. If you're updating your home, research the current trends and make educated decisions. Most of the time, you get the most return on investment from kitchen and bathroom remodels. Things that save a chunk on utility bills, load maintenance, or add-on square footages, those are usually the winners. And surprisingly, just because a project is expensive doesn't mean it will get you higher returns. Actually, minor improvements can get you more returns. According to Remodeling Magazine's annual analysis of cost versus values, a quote-unquote kitchen facelift, meaning painting, refinishing services, and upgrading appliances, will return more than a full redesign. So that's actually pretty astonishing to find out. So definitely you can spend less and make more money out of your investment. So yeah, I would really recommend doing your homework and find out what are the best ROI ticket items in your neighborhood and invest your money wisely. So it's like clothes shopping. Like, you can get really nice pieces at H&M or Zara that looks great and expensive, but at an affordable price. But you really have to be selective and pick the ones that look expensive where the material looks really quality. And you also want to make sure all the finishes that you pick will go together well and have style that lasts. Because I've definitely seen where there are a lot of expensive things put together but don't look great together. My last point about remodeling is that you don't want to be the most expensive one on your block. You want to make sure your remodeling fall within the neighborhood norm. Because when you're the most expensive on the block, first of all, there are no comps. So brokers might try to negotiate the price down since no one else has hit the sales price where you want to be before in the neighborhood. Second of all the potential buyers may not be able to afford the asking price that you want, where you can recuperate all the money that you had invested in your remodel. Lastly, I want to talk about art, because this is something I feel like a lot of people are afraid of. One of the most common things I see with first-time homebuyers selling their house is that I don't see anything on their walls at all when I walk into the house. I think when you're in your 20s, approaching your 30s, you're making a little bit more money than when you're just getting out of school. It is a great time for you to start collecting art. We're not talking about super expensive things that we hang in the museum like a Monet or a Van Gogh, but something you feel personally connect to. I was chatting with my cousin Eileen this weekend at a barbecue, and she mentioned to me that she didn't know what to do with her dining room walls. She wanted to buy art, but she doesn't feel like she understands art, and she wants to buy something that really connects with her, which I really feel personally resonate with. I've collected pieces here and there, and they're mostly not expensive things, but there are usually like illustrations or prints that make me feel really good or inspired. And I feel very connected to them. I like a lot of illustration type of works. They're also less expensive to collect. You can definitely buy something that is unique or mass produced. It doesn't matter. Like, as long as art makes you feel something, that's all it matters. And I feel happy and inspired when I look at my artwork that I collect. And I display them everywhere in my home. So the other big things about artwork is about hanging them up. My cousin Amy was saying that she has a really long wall in their living room. So to buy one, for her living room, she has this one giant wall and with a pretty large sectional right in front of it. So it is usually pretty hard and expensive to find one giant long piece of artwork that will fit with a scale. When you hang your artwork, you want to think about how all the things on the wall, like including the actual length of the wall, the furniture against the wall, and your artwork relate to each other. So the scale needs to make sense, and that's how the room will feel balanced. So instead of hanging one large long artwork, you can think about having groupings, you know, maybe a pair of large artwork that are side by side, or three of the same topic, you know, like three of the landscape or triptych. By hanging three, it expands your vision field, like it helps to expand it, and that's why you can create a sense of balance and harmony when you do that. So when you hang the artwork, you really have to think about everything in relations to the wall and how the scale will work for the pieces. Ultimately, the scale needs to make sense, and that's how the room will feel great. The most common mistakes I see is usually either hanging artwork too high or the scale doesn't work for them. To make the wall feel that you have filled it in, you can do a grouping, which is one of the easiest way to resolve the issue of having a really long wall. One of the most foolproof way to do that is you can do cutouts. You can take butcher paper or something like that and cut out the size of the artwork and literally arrange them on the walls until you feel like they look good to you. You don't have to do artwork either. You can do decorative plates, kids' artwork, family photos, anything. So I have this weird thing where I collect plates, and I will actually go to sale section of the Anthropology and go through their plates on sale. I usually can find really good deals that way in Anthropology, because I think anything buying full price at Anthro is kind of crazy. So, and I'll put a plate hanger on my plate and I'll hang them on the wall, and I can change them periodically, and you know, it's great. It's both functional and decorative. You can also frame kids' artwork, beautiful wrapping paper, basically anything that has pattern graphic or even magazine cutouts. I've also made my own artwork when I don't have anything that's the right size in my inventory for staging. I once custom made these canvases and basically stretched pattern fabrics over them to use them as artwork. So there are tons of possibilities out there. You can definitely find a lot of great DIY tutorials on Pinterest as well. And one of the things I was talking with my cousin Amy, she mentioned that I was complimenting on these photo frames that she had. And she's like, yeah, I got them on sale at Pottery Barn. And one of the ways to make a frame looks very expensive is actually the mat. So because you want to have that texture, right? So the ones that she bought, I really like, had these linen mats. And you can actually DIY this fairly easily, especially when you go to something like Michael's, where they have, or like Aaron's Brothers, where they have these matte paper on sale. So they're kind of like thick cardboard. When you cut it, you definitely want to push it down a little bit harder than the usual cutting stuff. And make sure you have a cutting mat to protect your surface, unless you don't care about your table. So I have done this where I have made custom mats for my artwork as well. And stores like Joann, they have coupons all the time. You can actually buy nice linen fabrics or even in scrap section. Because you actually don't need very large pieces for your mat unless you have very large artwork. So you can actually just cut them to size and then put them over the mat, basically cover them. Cover the front of it. And you want to... So like you can basically just lightly glue them on the back to make sure they stay in place. So that's a very easy DIY way to make an expensive frame to look really expensive. So you can definitely find a lot of great DIY tutorials out there. Ultimately, the thing is that whether you're living or selling your home, selling is definitely a process. Go through it one step at a time and definitely have fun with it. Through your experiences, you can figure out what works for you and what doesn't work for you. So that's it for today's show. I hope you had enjoyed it and learned a few new tricks or two. And thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review and a rating on iTunes, SoundCloud, or Stitcher. This will help others to find our show and keep it going. As usual, feel free to ask any questions on the show notes or in our private Facebook group. You can find the show notes by going to sagetremor.com/podcast. And that's it. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week and happy staging. Mm-hmm.